Now, one of the secret things given to us in the kingdom of God, now, in the kingdom, it's not a secret, but in the world, it is. So it's given to us to understand how the kingdom of God functions. And if we apply it, we will produce tremendous results. I told you some time ago, the Bible says the faith is a law. Is that right? Is faith a law? Okay, let me just show that to you in case you didn't know it. Book of Romans. The third chapter. Read for me verse 27. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. 1, 2, go. But by the law of faith. So faith is a law. You know, sometimes some people say, why can't I just get this done? Or why can't God just do this for me without faith? The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because faith is a law. It's a spiritual law. It's like saying, why can't I just go to the office today without the law of gravity? You need the law of gravity to keep you down here. See? So that's in the natural world. In the spiritual world, the same thing. You need the law of faith to function in the spirit. So faith is a law. Now, there are several laws in the physical world that we have understood and taken advantage of for our benefit. Just talked about the law of gravity. Okay? Electricity. That has helped us, and because of that, look at all this. The law of faith is the same thing. You got to understand, without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot make progress in the realm of the spirit. You will not achieve anything without faith. And so, understanding the law of faith and how it works is so important. That's how come a lot of people have lots of goals, lots of visions in their lives that never turn out right. Things just don't work because they don't understand the law of faith. Say it again, faith is a law.
Faith is a law.
Faith is a law.
Faith is a law.
Okay, I want to show you something about the principle of faith that you will put to work today. Okay? Romans chapter 4. Now, sometimes we have a point that we want to make. Okay? And we may say these are the important lines. And so many times people want to write down those vital lines. But what we say between the lines a lot of times are actually the ones that stir your faith. Those things we say between the lines are the ones that show us how those one or two liners function. Now, what am I saying? When we start reading what we're going to read, you will not find the important points that we're talking about in where the man's headed. So you're going to have to listen to everything and notice those powerful statements. That's why studying the Word of God is very important. You know, a lot of people read the Bible as though they're reading newspapers. They just, you know, just read. But the Bible is a treasure book. You got so much inside it. You got to search. You search like you're searching for some treasures. Treasures are not found on the surface. Got to dig for them. All right, ready? Okay, I'm reading to you from verse 13. If you listen carefully to this, you'll love it. This is powerful. It says, verse 13, chapter 4, book of Romans. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world. Did you hear that? We just started, and that's already very powerful. Someone to be the heir of the world, Abraham, meaning the world was willed to him. God willed the world to Abraham. The man inherited the world from God. Here's this man's authority. The world belongs to him. Did you ever know that God actually willed this world to one man? Oh boy. This is nice. God made Adam and Eve, you remember? And he put them back in the garden. And he gave them a charge to take care of the garden. But he didn't give the whole world to them. He put them in a garden. Didn't give the world to them. And now he gives the whole world to Abraham. Adam didn't get it. It was Abraham that got it. Now, the beautiful thing about it is he gave it to Abraham and his seed. Not only Abraham, but Abraham and his seed. And the Bible teaches that Christ is the seed of Abraham. Christ is the seed of Abraham. So he gave the world to Abraham and his seed, which is Christ. And the Bible says, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and therefore heirs according to the promise. Marvelous. Marvelous. That means the world belongs to me. Come on, say that. You gotta have that. You must have that mentality. Without it, you walk through this world in poverty, in want, lack, sickness, in defeat, wondering why the whole world is against you. But you have this mentality, you're different. You just know. Hallelujah. Okay, so says, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. I hope you understand this. But here's what we're going. Just keep reading. Follow. Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
17. As it is written, here is where it is now. Watch out for it. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, quickeneth, that means makes alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's powerful. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Oh boy. Inspiring. From that 17th verse, now you got something from the 13th verse, right? That God willed the world to Abraham. Now you come to the 17th verse and he says something about God here. Even God who makes alive the dead. So God can make alive the dead. In other words, it's never too late with God. He can bring the dead back to life. Never too late with God. Never too late. He makes alive the dead. Whether a dead womb, a dead body, a dead business, a dead bank account, makes no difference. He quickens the dead and calleth, I love this, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Two beautiful things here. Now, to raise the dead means you perform a miracle, which means God is a miracle God, right? It's got to be a miracle to bring the dead back to life. So that's a miracle. So God is a miracle God. Then it says, he calls those things which be not as though they were. That means he calls those things that don't exist as though they already existed. That means God's a faith God. So he's a miracle God. He's a faith God. Faith is calling real that which you cannot see. So he says he calls those things which be not, which don't exist, as though they already were. With this man Abraham, God said something when he changed his name. He was first called Abram, which meant exalted or assumed father. And then he changed his name to Abraham, meaning father of many. And God said to him, from today you shall be called Abraham, father of many. At the time, he had no children. So God said, your name shall be Abraham because I have made you a father of many nations. He didn't say, I will make you. So he wasn't changing his name so he could become something that God was planning to do. But he changed his name to correspond with what God already made him to be. So he would become what God already decided he was to be. Abraham, father of many nations. This was God's plan. So God calls those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. That's faith. That's the principle of faith. Look at it again. Look at it again. Now, look at it again. That 17th verse, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, let me show you another thought so you can understand this even better. Did you notice he didn't say, he calls those things which be as though they were not? Come on. He didn't say he calls things which be as though they weren't. No, he calls things which be not as though they were. All right, let me use a health condition as an example. Somebody's got a growth, maybe a tumor in the body. And he's saying, this tumor does not exist. You can't, don't say this tumor does not exist. Because you're trying to call that which is as though, you see, that's the opposite. That's not faith. And that's why many times such things remain. What do you want? You're supposed to call health into being in that place. So you don't have a growth and say it is not there. What do you want? It's what you want that you call into being. So he says, it is not there. Now, but it's still there. It is not there. He calls things which be not as though they were. For example, someone is expecting to have a child. Like Abraham, you call that which doesn't yet exist as though it did. But you're not expected, after you have given birth to a child, to say, this is not the child I wanted. I call it off. You see it now? What is it you're thinking about? What do you want to make real? Bring it into being by the voice of faith. Say, I can do it. Through faith. Through my faith proclamation. I can do anything. Let me read further. Verse 18. Now, still talking about Abraham. He says about Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. See, he had accepted the promise of God. When God said, so shall thy seed be. He says, against hope, he believed in hope. Against hope. In other words, the situation outwardly was hopeless. The circumstances were hopeless. He was about 100 years old. He was old. His wife's womb was dead. She was too old to have children. It was over. But the Bible says, against hope. That was his condition. His condition was against hope. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become according to that which was spoken. He believed in hope. In other words, he transported himself in hope to take a hold of that which was promised. Oh, verse 19, you like this. And being not weak in faith, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He considered not his own body, which was now as good as dead. Weak faith considers the circumstances. This man was not weak in faith. He says, being not weak in faith, he considered not the circumstances. When you're weak in faith, you consider the circumstances. You consider all those who are in competition with you, and you look at, oh, is there no chance? When you're weak in faith, you think about everything else but the possibility of your getting through. He says, this man was not weak in faith. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. All the symptoms might be showing in your body, but refuse to be weak in faith. And you see, sometimes fear attacks your mind. And you're like, every now and then you get that shock. Because you're thinking about, oh, these rashes, these bars, oh, this pain, oh, you think about the condition, oh. So, now you believe, and then now you don't believe. And you think it's all gone in Jesus' name, it's all gone, and suddenly you see there's another breakout. Oh, Jesus, weak in faith, considers the circumstances. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. What an example of faith. Let's look at this. Are you there? 19 again, and be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. See, weak faith staggers. Weak faith staggers. Let me explain. Did you ever read the story of Elijah and the children of Israel when they went after Baal, the forest god, and they were worshiping Baal? And Elijah came to them and said, how long do you halt between two opinions? Whether Baal is God or Jehovah is God? He's asking them, you're halting between two opinions. What does that mean? That means walking like a lame man, crippled. He says, you're halting between two opinions. That's what's being spoken of here. To stagger. The Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God. See? James will say, to waver not. See that? When you stagger between two opinions like them, Or you stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. You're like, you believe today, and then because of the circumstances, you change your mind. And then again, you believe. And then again, you're afraid. And then again, you try. And then again, you say, yes, I believe. Oh, yes, I am healed. Then after that, you say, oh, God, please heal me. See that? You say, I receive healing in Jesus' name. Then tomorrow, you say, oh, God, please take this thing away. See, you're staggering. You're halting between two opinions. Am I healed or am I trying to get healed? You see that? Am I healed? Am I trying to get healed? You're halting between two opinions. You're staggering at the promise of God, at God's word, through unbelief. The Bible says, this man Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Strong in faith. When you're strong in faith, you give glory to God. How do you give glory to God? You testify. He has done it for me. I got it. He has done it. You testify. The Bible says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. That means you go all out for God's word, irrespective of what you feel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He staggered not, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Are you following these things? This man was fully persuaded. Some people are not fully persuaded because the word of God has not persuaded them. And do you remember what the Bible tells us about the children of Israel when they couldn't enter the promised land? He said, they could not be persuaded. That's unbelief. Unpersuadableness is unbelief. When the word of God couldn't persuade them. Are you fully persuaded that that which you ask the Lord for is yours? Are you fully persuaded? Now you say, what do I do if I'm not fully persuaded and I'm in that situation where I am afraid and I'm staggering at God's word and I'm halting between two opinions? What do I do? I'll tell you what to do. What you do is listen to the word of God like you're listening now. You listen to the message of faith like you're listening now. Because you got to feed your faith. Feed your faith on the ability of God. And make up your mind you're going to win. I'll read something to you in a moment. Now, 21. And being fully persuaded. Maybe you're 50% persuaded and so you're going up and down, up and down, up and down. Say, yeah, I know I'm here, but I saw something the other day. I saw a little pain, a growth this way the other day. I couldn't raise my hand the other day. Or yesterday, I had, oh, yes, I know I'm here. But, okay, so you're maybe 70% persuaded. Now, this man was fully persuaded. You've got to be fully persuaded by the word of God in such a way it's impossible for somebody to change your mind. You are so fully persuaded that nothing in this world can shake your faith. Are you fully persuaded? Are you aware that there are some Christians who are not fully persuaded about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's a problem. Some are not even fully persuaded Jesus is coming again. Because they haven't heard the word of God as they should. So it's a problem. Say, I'm fully persuaded by the word. Okay, now that's to open your spirit. That's not going to persuade you. You're going to have to do some more. Praise God. You're not persuaded because you say, I'm persuaded. But that helps you. You see, how does it help you? It raises your spiritual antenna. and gets you focused on what you're going to be persuaded about. So when you say, I'm fully persuaded, your spirit is waiting to like, so what are we persuaded about now? Come on, come on, come on. So you got to say what you're persuaded about. Hallelujah. Okay, I said I'm going to read something to you. Go to the book of Hebrews. I'll read something here. You'd love this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. If you've never done a personal study of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I recommend that you do so even today. Did you hear me? But you see, he started out explaining faith from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He defines faith, and this is the best definition of faith you could ever get. I've looked through many dictionaries. Not one of them could give us as good a definition as this. This is the best you could ever find. And I know why. Because this is a book of faith. God's faith. No one could define it better than the Spirit. Because faith is the response of the human spirit to the Word of God. Faith is spiritual. It's a spiritual law. It takes the Spirit of God to define it properly. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Three. Read verse 3. 1, 2, go. You know, I'm stirred just to think about this. This third verse, I could take off in another direction, you know, because of that verse 3. He says, through faith we understand that the aeons, do you remember?
Yes.
The aeons were framed. By the rhema of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Do you understand what it's talking about? You can frame what's going to happen through faith with rhema. The aeons were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to pray in a few minutes. And when we start praying, listen, you got to have all this going through your mind. And so you pray in the right direction. You're going to have to frame your aeon. All right? Now, if you don't know the meaning of aeon, it means you're just coming. Aeon is Greek for word. It actually means course of life. It means an age, a dispensation, a way of doing things. It refers to all that which happens in a time, a period of time. It affects those who come into your world or go out of your world and how things happen with you. Now, he's telling you that that can be framed. You can bring the right things into your life. See, God has a course of life for every one of us. And he has prepared it But just because he prepared it doesn't mean we're going to get into it. It's up to us. There are people who meet those they should never meet. The people in jobs they should never be in. The people living in houses they should have never entered. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's why a lot of people got problems in their lives. They're just where they should never have been. Because their aeons were not framed. They let things just happen. And you know, like somebody said, I believe that whatever will be. Wrong. It's like a farmer coming to his farm. He says, I love this farm. And anything that's going to grow will grow. What do you think he's going to have? Weeds. The Bible didn't say, whatsoever sows itself shall be reaped. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, you are responsible. You get it? Very important. So he says, through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God. Now, we got a full teaching on this, and better ask for it, okay? Bless you. Yeah. Through faith we understand the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then it goes on to tell us so much and so much and so much of what different people did. Now, I want you to go all the way in that same chapter, straight to verse 32. Are you there? And what shall I more say? What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. Oh God. Through faith they subdued kingdoms. Through faith, they subdued kingdoms. You can, through faith, subdue an industry. Are you catching this? Through faith, they subdued kingdoms. How could this have happened? Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Through faith they obtained promises. You know what that means? It means that they did certain things that promises were made to them. Hey, you're going to get this, you're going to get this, you're going to get this. That can happen every time. You can so perform this month that a promise of a double salary could be made to you. A promotion, you could earn it. He says, through faith, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. They produce righteousness. In other words, they got things to function rightly. Where everybody else went the other way. Hallelujah. Obtain promises. Oh God. This month is your month. Yeah. Hallelujah. Men and women, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. It doesn't matter how wicked those adversaries of yours have been. You can stop their mouths. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Oh, hallelujah. When they needed to flee, they couldn't catch them. They escaped the edge of the sword. You couldn't get them. Out of weakness, they were made strong. People who were weak, it is faith made them strong. You may look at yourself today, you know that you've been, you know, very much afraid of different things. You think you're a weak person. But faith can change it. It is out of weakness we're made strong. They were weak, but faith made them strong. Hallelujah. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This is wonderful. He's telling you what faith has done in the lives of others. And the reason is for you to know what faith can do in your life. When faith is stirred up in you, you can do anything. Say, I can do anything.
I can do anything.
Say it again, I can do anything.
I can do anything.
All I need to do
is
stir up faith in my heart.
I can do anything.
Yeah, that's right. Verse 35, women receive their dead raised to life again. That's powerful. Women received their dead raised to life again. When a woman will not give up, death can't hold her child, her husband, or anything. It says, women received their dead raised to life again. When faith is dead. You know, sometimes a lady says, I've been having miscarriages. How many of you had 10, 12, 20? I've always had miscarriages. Do you know what you're talking about? You haven't awakened to faith. You're still in the realm of prayer. You're still saying, oh God, please, oh God. Hey, haven't you seen this? Haven't you seen this? They said the thing is not moving, it's dead. Not this time. Not this time. Get it back to life. If it weren't possible, he wouldn't put it here for us. He's telling us what we also can do. Women receive their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You know, some people, you know, you read about them in the Bible, they were tortured. For example, Peter, the apostle, after a great life of faith, he was killed. And the Bible says he didn't accept deliverance. He wanted a better resurrection. Remember, he had accepted deliverances at several times when he was arrested. And on one occasion, they wanted to kill him at Easter. Next day, an angel of the Lord came in there and took him out. So on several occasions, he witnessed such deliverances by the power of God. But at the end of his life, he decided he was through and that it wasn't necessary for him to continue. And church history tells us when he was to be crucified, like his master, he said, no. No. Do it the other way. He'd rather be turned upside down. Praise God. Paul, the same thing. He got many deliverances. But finally he said, I finished my course. He said, I fought a good fight. And I'm ready to go. So he says here, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Listen, this is very powerful. Verse 37. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. I could preach for a whole month on that. God says the world wasn't worthy of them. But the world thought they weren't worthy of the world and thought to kill them. Of whom the world was not worthy. And it's in parentheses. Did you notice? They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Don't you understand? So God was waiting for our own stories. So our works of faith, our stories of faith are going to be joined to this to form God's book of Acts. So what are you going to do? There are circumstances you would want to change. And you can change them by faith. Right? Yeah. So right now, ready. Say, I'm going to effect a change. And remember this. It says, you shall receive power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in what? Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, power, he says, you shall receive. Okay? Power. What is power? Power is the ability to effect a change. It is the dynamic ability to cause changes. And that's what he said we would receive when we receive the Holy Spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Hey, come on now. Do you have the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Oh, you mean you got the power to effect changes?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Say, it's my mentality. I can do all things. It's my mentality. It's my mentality. I can do. Hallelujah.
If you are not yet born again, we invite you to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life by praying this prayer. O Lord God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Your word says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I ask Jesus to come into my heart to be the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I declare that I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. I now have Christ dwelling in me. I am a new creation. Hallelujah. If you have just said that prayer, congratulations. You are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please get in touch with us by calling any of the numbers displayed on your screen or visit our website at www.christembassy.org. God bless you.
It's a timeless audio compilation like never before. First, we learned about two kinds of faith. Then we built up our audacity of faith. Soon after, we took possession with our faith proclamations. Then our walk of faith became greater than ever. Now, for the first time ever, own these great faith teaching classics. Two kinds of faith, the audacity of faith, faith proclamations, and our walk of faith, all on one wholesome MP3 audio CD entitled Classic Teaching on Faith. Get it now. It's four classic faith teaching tiles by Pastor Chris on one MP3 audio CD. Place your orders now by calling these numbers. It's a faith classic like never before.